Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to our shir. It's wonderful to see everyone. We are in the middle of the seventh of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the seventh of the Ani Mamins, and we'll just return for a moment to the beginning, and then just summarize in a few minutes. That was the air conditioning?
Heat?
That was the heat? That's pretty aggressive. That's is that what it sounds like in the women's section when the heat goes on?
Yeah, it's noisy.
That's chashiv. Okay. Okay. I hope you at least get more heat than we do for that auditory. Okay. That was pretty special. Okay. So, okay. Is everyone comfortable? Are people cold right now? Or
I'm always cold.
You're always cold? Okay. All right, good. Not that I could do anything about it. I just figure it's something polite to ask, you know, when you're meeting with a group of people. I don't have the slightest clue how to fix that problem. But anyway, as my basic understanding is that if you're cold, you're actually not cold. You're really warm, and you just don't realize it. But if you want, we could have a vote, and we'll clarify for you that you're not cold.
I had a high school teacher used to say that. All in the mind, people.
Yeah, I wish I had a high school teacher. So the first anima, so the seventh animamin. So we'll just summarize quickly what we did last week, and then take us a little bit deeper into it, into an interesting discussion. So, Ani Mamin Bemuna Shalema. So, this is one of our fundamentals of faith. Shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, Hoysa Amitis, it is true. Veshehu Hoya Avla Nevi'im, and that he is the father of all Nevi'im. Lakodmim Lafanov, to those that come before him. V'laboim Acharov, and to those that come after him, to those that follow him. I did hear from someone that some of this is interpreted by some to be somewhat polemical, that, you know, the Rambam's functioning in different societies with different religions, and, you know, that substantiating that no one that comes after Moshe Rabbeinu is of the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu is another way of saying that any claims to a subsequent prophecy, right, because the two major religions in the world, Christianity and Islam, both acknowledge the existence of Moshe Rabbeinu, both acknowledge, more so than most Jews, and substantiate the miraculous, the miraculous events surrounding the origins of our history, and both believe that there was sort of a handoff to another subsequent prophet, or subsequent emissary of God, that ultimately takes the world to a different place. So to not just say that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Avla Nevi'im, that no one that came before him is as great as him, which is something that we're not going to explore tonight, but there are statements in the Medrash that do seem to contradict this a little bit, that talk about the Avos relative to Moshe differently. But Shu Avla Nevi'im, that he's the greatest of the Nevi'im, Lakom in Lafana, Vila Boim Acharov. So maybe to us that's Pashut, but one of the things the Rambam is trying to say is you can't just have someone come on the scene and declare, well, there was a new revelation to a new person, whether it was in Yerushalayim or in Mecca or in Utah or anywhere where someone says, that they have a new revelation, and that they can supplant Moshe Rabbeinu. But okay, that's just another context within which we can appreciate the Rambam. So we discuss the Rambam in source number 2, distinguish between Moshe Rabbeinu and all other Nevi'im in 4 different ways. That Moshe Rabbeinu needs no intermediary. Pel peadaber, they speak literally from mouth to mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu is awake and alert during this experience. It is not one that happens in an alternate state of consciousness. It is something that happens when Moshe Rabbeinu is fully present. That Moshe Rabbeinu is not incapacitated by this experience. That it's something that doesn't, you know, draw his strength out of him, and it's an overwhelming experience. That he can retain his normative human disposition and be able to have this dialogue with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the fourth one, of course, was that Moshe Rabbeinu could trigger such a connection or conversation at his own initiative. And that Moshe Rabbeinu was not just passive, in this experience. And what we discussed last week is that why is it that this is such a fundamental of emunah? We understand why this is important. We understand why this is an important facet of our story, of our history, of our foundation, of the personalities. You know, Akedas Yitzchak is not one of the 13 Ikrei Emunah. You know, Bechiras Yosef is not one of the 13 Ikrei Emunah. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah becomes such an Ikrei Emunah? One of the things we discussed last week is that it really is the belief in Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to connect to the Kadosh Baruch Hu is really for us what substantiates our entire capacity to connect with God altogether. Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm that a human being and a divine can connect together, that such a thing is possible, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the portal through which the Torah is given, and that's why his disposition has to be completely lucid. It can't be that Moshe Rabbeinu is having some, you know, tripped out dream that, you know, has some divine appellation. It has to be that Moshe Rabbeinu is fully conscious and in control of his faculties and having an intellectually sound experience, because what he's going to transmit is the Torah, is the foundations of everything we believe, is Torah Shebichtav, and of course is Torah Sheba'al Peh. So that's where we left off after source number 3. And I want to take us now to source number 4 and delve a little bit further into the Rambam. That's how we left off last week with this Rav Tzadok HaKohen. A person has to believe in their Vayaminu Ba'Hashem uveMoshe Avdo. Right? It's a very beautiful idea that we have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we have to believe in Moshe. So what does that mean? So Rav Tzadok says it doesn't just mean we have to believe in Hashem and we have to believe in Moshe because he's the one that gave us the Torah and we have to believe everything in the Torah is true. No, we have to believe that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's something called a Moshe. There is a Koach in the world called Moshe. Yes, there was a person, Moshe, who exemplified that Koach, but that Koach is accessible to all human beings at some level. Not maybe at the level of Moshe, but when we say Ve'aminu Ba'Hashem uveMoshe Avdo, what we're really saying is that we have faith in our own capacity to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we believe that that is possible, that Dveikus, the connection with the divine, with the spiritual, that that is possible, that something transcendent can be part of our life, that we believe that that's possible. And that really is one of the Ikari Yamuna. So the Rambam, so I apologize that the words are a little small, but we're going to now look at a little bit deeper in terms of the Rambam's approach, and then we'll get to the Rav. So the Rambam in Mishneh Torah in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah Pereches. So Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam makes a fascinating statement. The Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu. So here, this Ikra Emunah is about Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is another context in Mishneh Torah where he discusses Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu lo kiminu bo Yisrael mibnei haosos sheasa. The Jewish people did not believe in the leadership and in the substance and in the personality of Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miraculous signs that he did. Shehama'amin al pi ha'osos, because anyone whose emuna, anyone whose faith is contingent on these miracles, yesh belibo dofi, there is in his heart a shortcoming. She'efsha she'yase ha'os bilad v'kishuv, because such a wonder could easily be replicated through sorcery or through magic, or today, through technology, right? You know, it's not so, anyone who's had the schus to go to Universal Studios in California, for Torah purposes, and you go on the back lot and they take you to where they made the Ten Commandments, and they show you how they split the sea. This was before like 3/4 of the movies were made on computer, right? This is when they actually had actors and scenes and things happened. And they tape them. So the tram goes, you know, towards the water, and the guy always goes through the same routine. Oh my gosh, we're going to go into the water. Oh no, oh no, oh no. And if you're a really young kid, you get really scared. And then the sea splits. And then the sea splits, and the tram goes through the sea, and then you go see Jaws. So I don't think any of this is around today. I think today everything just explodes a lot. But anyway, so the point is, these things can be replicated. And we stop and think about this, it's something to really think about. In other words, to what extent, when we let's say, teach children about who our avos were and who our leaders were. To what extent are the miracle stories embedded in a foundational way in terms of communicating the reality of these people? You know, so the Rambam says our belief in Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing to do with the miracles that he did. Because if you believe in him because he was a miracle worker, so then you're creating a dependency of your faith on something external. Ela kola osos sha'asa Moshe mimidbar, and then the Rambam says something extraordinary. All of the miracles that Moshe did in the Midbar, lifi hatzorech asam. These miracles were never done. This is really contrary, I think, to what most of us have been led to believe. These miracles were not done to substantiate Moshe Rabbeinu's veracity as the leader of the Jewish people or anything like that. The miracles were done because they were necessary. Lo lahavi raya ala nevuah, not to create any sort of proof to his nevuah. Hayatzarech lashkias amitzrim, they had to drown the mitzrim. So karas hayam beitzilim betocho. So they did kriyas yamsuf, and the Jewish people walked through. What the Rambam's alluding to is a not so well known understanding of kriyas yamsuf. All of the projects that we make in nursery with kriyas yamsuf have the Jews on one side, the sea in the middle, and the land on the other side, and you have to split the sea so they could walk through. In fact, when you read through the Psukim carefully, and Tosis in Erechin actually explains this with a picture, there's a picture in the Tosis, which is very rare, that actually they went into the sea and they came out on the same end. That this had nothing to do with crossing the Red Sea, that this had to do with the fact that they were being pursued by the Egyptians, and the only way to get rid of the Egyptians was to pull them into the sea and have the sea collapse on top of them. So this was all about getting rid of the Mitzrim. And there's a lot of discussion about that. Is Kriyas Yamsuf about Hatzalas Yisrael, or is it really about the Mitzrim? And some understand, the famous Meshech Chachma, that's why the end of Pesach is not its own Chag. Though we don't say a special hallel at the end of Pesach, because Masa Yadai Tava Bayam Ba'atam Omrim Shira, that we don't follow Vecha Al Tismach, we don't rejoice on the with regards to the demise of our enemies. And the purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf ultimately was to destroy the enemy. It actually was not because the Jewish people needed to somehow jump over to the other side. So v'yitzilam b'tocho, so tzricha, tzarchena l'mazon, we needed food, hard lo asa months, we got months, some of we were thirsty, bakal lo asa even, so they had to split the rock. Kafr ba edas korach, bala osana aretz. Right, you had the Korach and the Korach v'adaso. You had a problem with a rebellious faction, so the earth had to swallow them up. V'chein shar kola osios, all of the osios were all just pragmatic, says the Rambam. They were not intended to make a show. They were not intended, and this is fascinating, right? That these all these miracles, we think about Kriyas Yamsuf as one of the big foundations of why we believe. Yeah, this is part of our story. This is, so says the Rambam, no, these were all pragmatic. These were not fundamental to who we are, to our faith. Uvamaya minu. So then, with regards to what do we believe in him? Like, in other words, so what, where is the emuna in Moshe come from? B'mamed Har Sinai, says the Rambam. It is all based on Mamed Har Sinai. She'enenu rose, that we actually saw the Lozar and not someone else. Ve'ozenenu shamu, and we heard Velo Acher and not someone else. Ha'esh v'akolos v'lapidim, we heard the fire and the thunder and the lightning. V'uniga shel ha'arafel, we saw Moshe approach this cloud. V'akol medaber elav, we heard a voice speaking to him. V'anu shomim, and we heard God say, Moshe, Moshe, leich emor la'en kach v'kach, that Moshe, you should say this to the Jewish people. V'cheinu omer b'panim b'panim diber Hashem imachem, that panim b'panim God spoke to you. V'nemar lois avosein akras Hashem b'ris azos, u'minayim shema min har Sinai levado, hi haraya l'nevuaso. So says the Rambam, Mamin har Sinai is the only, that is the living proof that we have to Moshe's nevuah. In other words, our belief in Moshe comes not from miracles and magic. It comes from our rational experience. We were there. We saw something happen. We saw God communicate to Moshe. And the Mesorah, the tradition that we have, that event occurred, an event that happened in front of 3 million people, that is the foundation of our belief in the truthfulness, in the existence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not some story about a miracle that he did. The miracles were only Shehi Emes She'em Bo Dofi. That is a truth that has no shortcoming. The Rambam says something extraordinary. He says that from these sukkim you see that the nemanus, the belief that people had in Moshe Rabbeinu before Mamad Har Sinai, was tenuous. It was not substantial. It was not unbreakable. Right? There was a lot of, but once Mamad Har Sinai came, and the Jewish people saw God talk to Moshe, they heard God talk to Moshe, that becomes the foundation of our belief in Moshe. So this is the Rambam's statement. Others are bothered by this Rambam, because if you look, for example, at the Psukim at the beginning of Perek Dalet in Sefer Shmos, right? Moshe Rabbeinu and God are having an argument. God comes to Moshe and he says, I want you to lead the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, why are you asking me? I'm not qualified. Send my brother. Send this one. Send that one. Send Elio, the Medrash says. This is not for me. I'm not interested in this position. So Hashem says to him that, Misam Pela Adam, and you have been chosen, and you're going to lead the Jewish people. Vayan Moshe. So then, once Moshe can't get through to God that he's not interested in the job, he tries to tell God that he won't be effective at the job, right? So Vayan Moshe, Vayomer, and he says, Vehein lo yaminu li, velo yishmu v'koli. The Jewish people, and look at the words he uses, Hein lo yaminu li. They will not believe in me. They won't believe me. They'll say, who are you, Moshe? Velo yishmu b'koli. And they won't listen to my voice. Exactly what the Rambam's worried about. Exactly what this Ani Mamin's about, right? They're not going to believe me. So, ki yomer lo nirei lecha Hashem. They'll say, you're just some guy that showed up here. We don't know that God spoke to you, that God revealed himself to you. Vayomer elav Hashem. So Hashem says to him, what's in your hand? It's a stick. Throw the stick to the ground. And he throws the stick to the ground. It turns into a snake. Put your hand in your thing and take it out. And it changes its form. And then he says in Pasuk Hey, Lima'an ya'aminu, ki nira elecha Hashem Elokei Avosam. That I'm giving you these miracles so that they will believe you. So when you look at these psukim, it seems very much contrary to the Rambam, that the belief in Moshe is rooted in his ability to manifest his supernatural endowed powers, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving. And that's exactly where it's coming from. So turn to the next source. And the next source, which is a sefer that I found, called Yesodei Hadas, okay, which comes from the Saba Mikelm. So he argues, before I give it away, so I cut and paste some different pieces here, but his whole first part is about miracles and the role of miracles in Emunah. So he writes the following in Perek Zayin, Hinei ka'asher bi'arnu, that kol anisim shenasol avasenim b'yitzias Mitzrayim lohoyev liyu kamosim ba'olam. The miracles that were done to us in Mitzrayim, we never had miracles like that. Neizeh ba mitzvah, and that's why we have a special mitzvah. L'man tizkor yom tzeizcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, kol yemei chayecha. That you have to remember that when you went out of Mitzrayim, all of the days of your life. Ba'al zeh ba mitzvah tefillin b'kiddush b'choros, lizkor anisim shenas alonu b'yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's why we have many mitzvos that are designed to ensure, to preserve this very central memory that animates the identity of the Jewish people. The ode, harbe mitzvot zeichel etzias Mitzrayim. There are many mitzvot zeichel etzias Mitzrayim. Milvad kol zeh, hayagam ken gilui shchina. There was also a gilui shchina etzias Mitzrayim. Like it says in the Haggadah, umora gadol zu gilui shchina. And Chazal say, "Ze keli vanveyu sheraasa shivcha alayam mashalo raa yecheskel ben buzi anavi." That the shivcha, the maid servant at Kriyas Yamsuf, saw miraculous things that even the Navi Yecheskel, who sees the most, the nevuos of Yecheskel are of the Maisa Merkava, of the most divine, explicit descriptions. Vayemarim be'etzba zekeli, vayemarim be'brachos kriyas shema malchuscha, ro'u v'necha bokei hayam lifnei Moshe. Ze'eli anuvi amru, Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ed. That there was a connection between seeing kriyas Yamsuf and the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. V'ksiv ayah yisos yad ha'gedola, we saw the end of God. Asher osa Hashem mitzayim v'ayu ha'mesa Hashem v'ayaminu ba'Hashem v'moshe avdo. V'hine. So look at what he says now. Yesh li ato tzar gadol. I have a lot of tzar, a lot of pain. She'avo ato, that I'm going to come now. Leheyez panai, which means to be arrogant. V'lechavos dea, and to register my opinion. Keneged asa Rambam, against the opinion of the Rambam, right? Why? Mipnei she'eino ge'azeh lehalacha lemaisa. Now here he says something so interesting. Because after all, we're not talking about issues here that relate to halacha lemaisa. Ki im deya bilvad. We're only talking about religion. Right? Now, we spent a long time last year discussing whether or not there is psak when it comes to issues of hilchos deos, right? Are we only committed to a system, a halachic system of psak halacha, of bottom line psak halacha in the area of religious observance, or in the area of religious thought in our Jewish philosophy as well? Because as we've explored often here, it's not as monolithic as we've been raised to believe, that some of the very foundational issues that exist in Torah philosophy are not all viewed the same way by everyone. And so therefore, kiim dea bilvad, al kein yesh lanu rishus l'chavos datenu, so we can give our own opinion. Kefi sheyire lanu al zeh sichleinu, based on what we think. Kefi sheyire lanu mitaras Moshe Rabbeinu, yefshar lanu l'kabel bazeh dato shel Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. He said, I cannot accept this opinion of the Rambam. So why can't he accept this opinion of the Rambam? Skip to the next paragraph where it says aval at the end of the line. Aval bazeh ani muchrach leheyiz penenu keneged Rabbeinu Hagadol. Here I'm going to prove against the Rambam. V'lomar she'ein datenu maskemes lidvarav. We don't agree with him. She'kol anisim aniflos she'osa kadosh baruch hu lanu biyetzias mitzrayim lohayu maspikim lahamim b'nevuas Moshe zulas mamid har Sinai. The Rambam's central assertion that all of the miracles surrounding Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf are extraneous to our central belief in the veracity of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, because the only thing that points to that Nevuah is Mamed Har Sinai, right? The only thing that points to that Nevuah is Mamed Har Sinai. We're in source 6. Do you have last week's? Oh, okay, because last week's was a different, looks the same, but it's not the same. So, no, that you got this week's. We're all good. So we don't agree. Sha'asakar Shbekhlon, we says, how you must speak to Muhammad, Zuas Mamed Har Sinai, except for Mamed Har Sinai. Mipnei atam shekasu shamamen api osos. And what was the reason? The Rambam said, because anybody who believes based on signs, yesh bo dofi, that's a vulnerable belief system, because she'efshe she'yase, you could do it through sorcery and through magic. She'kefi asher biyarnu b'perekah kodim, chalila lo markein. We cannot say this. He's arguing on the Rambam. Al hanisim v'aniflos she'asa kadosh baruch hu lanu b'tzeisanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. V'chalila lahashos nise Mitzrayim l'shar osos u'movsim she'efshar gam l'novi sheker la'asosom. So his central thesis, and others agree with him as well, is that the Rambam is wrong. The Rambam is wrong because the Rambam is not distinguishing between the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all other miracles. These weren't just a couple of tricks that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do. That the Rambam's saying that, why are you basing your belief in Moshe on these miracles when a sorcerer or a magician could do these miracles themselves? But rather, the miracles we're talking about are very grandiose. They're revolutionary miracles. They're enormous miracles. They're global miracles. They're miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They cannot be replicated and have never been replicated by any magician of anywhere. So you want to say that Bilam could do this trick, and this one could do that trick, and there were, you know, Nevi'im and all sorts of, you know, so Moshe could throw down the stick and make a snake, so the Chartumim could throw down the stick and make a snake. But where do we have in the history of the world anybody who, through the magical powers of sorcery, walked an entire nation out of bondage, out of slavery, into freedom, based on magical powers, and crossed the sea and drowned their oppressors, turned an entire Nile into blood, created frogs here, there, and everywhere, right? Where do we ever have that anywhere? And so therefore, the miracles surrounding Yetzias Mitzrayim are a central part of what propels our faith in the existence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And really what this is about is different perspectives in terms of what the roles of miracles are in our system of belief. And this is important for us to think about, because as we live in a much more empirical world, right, and a much more... If we were writing the Rambam today, right, we wouldn't write what the Rambam wrote. We wouldn't write that it's important not to base your whole faith on miracles because, after all, you'll find a sorcerer that could also do the miracles. We would write, it's important not to base your whole faith on miracles because, after all, the whole world thinks that's insane, right? They would lock you up if you walked around saying, I saw a miracle, right? That the concept of violating nature goes against the fundamental assumptions of a technological and advanced and revealed society. If we believe that nature can be manipulated and things can happen miraculously in any moment, then that kind of undermines the entire institution of science. All of our assumptions, the assumptions of research, assumptions that allow us to apply principles to real life, all assume a certain level of consistency in the natural world, right? You test medications on animals and then you use them in humans because you're making certain assumptions about the natural world. If you can have a pircha in every scientific article, well, maybe the Tylenol worked on the rat because it was a miracle, right? Then you would have a very big problem putting it into a human being, right? We live in a society of empiricism. We live in a society where things are more rational. If your entire system of faith is based on the assumption of one singular miracle, then it will be very difficult to cultivate faith in everyone, because you're really running counter to Western assumptions. You're really running counter to the whole world, as opposed to what would the Rambam say? Again, I'm not saying this is the only approach. As opposed to what would the Rambam say? The Rambam would say that, exactly, the Rambam would say that that's why our faith isn't based on miracles. That doesn't mean we don't believe miracles happened. We believe miracles happened. But that's not the foundation of our faith. The foundation of our faith is a shared revelatory experience. Is the moment that we all stood at Sinai and heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. That was a rational, human experience. Yes, it involved supernatural phenomenon, but the supernatural phenomenon were surrounding the experience. They didn't define the experience. It's not like someone came down from a mountain and reported to everyone that there was some sort of supernatural something and now there's a religion. 3 million people stood at a mountain and they saw something happen. It was empirical. It was scientific. It was natural. It happened. And so therefore, since it happened and we experienced it, and that's what we perpetuate, a shared history of experience. Why are you a Jew? I'm a Jew because, why are you a believing Jew? I'm a believing Jew because I'm part of a tradition and I'm part of a world and I'm part of a faith community that had a shared experience at Sinai where God spoke to the entire people. Yes, there was a singular individual at the leadership helm of those people, but everyone saw that happen. It wasn't a singular claim. Everyone saw that happen. So what are miracles for the Rambam? So the Rambam, if you look at his Perush HaMishnayos in Perek Hey, because after all, the Psukim say at the end of Dvarim, if you look at source number 7, V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'Moshe, even when the Torah itself tells us that there was never another Navi like Moshe, Asher yado Hashem panim alpanim, that's good for the Rambam. But then, L'chola osos v'amosos, Sheshokla Hashem lasos be'eretz Mitzrayim, L'paro l'chola v'dova l'chola atzolu yochol. The whole thing is about miracles, right? The Rambam's saying Moshe is not about miracles, yet at the end of the Torah, the whole... So the Rambam explains in his Perush HaMishnayos that what are miracles? So the Rambam explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the laws of nature, this is what the Torah, the Mishnah tells us, that 10 things were created bein hashmashos. So the Rambam's interpretation of that, what do you mean 10 things were created bein hashmashos? It sounds like God was creating the world and then like he couldn't get home in time, you know? So he like went into the 18 minutes. You know, Mrs. God is like, you know, trying to get everything together. He's like barely showered and he's like, okay, let me make the donkey and the chauffeur and the thing and that, right? It sounds like God's all over the place. So Elamai, what does it mean 10 things were created bein hashmashos? So the Rambam explains that embedded within creation were these exceptional phenomena. That somehow we may not understand it, we may not appreciate it, we may not be able to discern it, we may not with our limited human experience fully appreciate it, but at the end of the day, within the world of Teva, somehow is the capacity for these violations of the world of Teva. There was a talking donkey, but that talking donkey was there from the beginning. The talking donkey was not introduced for the very first time when some ogre had to save a princess, and lo and behold, you know, Eddie Murphy showed up ready to go, right? That was not the beginning of the talking donkey. The beginning of the talking donkey is already Sheshis Yimei Bereshis, all the way back into the world of Teva. But what do we see? So we see that for the Rambam, two very different visions of what our anchor is in our relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu and his Nevuah. Is our anchor that, you know, the notion of Osos Umosim, the notion that Moshe Rabbeinu was part of bringing to the world such an exceptional global experience like Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, and ultimately that is what catapulted his leadership to a place of chosenness and a place of you know, ultimate central, you know, that's what made him central to the future of the Jewish people. Or no, as the Rambam said, and that's what this is all part of. Or no, as the Rambam says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was really about the experience of Mamed Har Sinai. Okay, let's look at source number 9. So continuing with our reflections about the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to share with you an excerpt from an essay from the Rav. Yeah, sorry.
Is it okay to ask you questions?
It's a pleasure, yeah.
What if the Rambam wanted to make a distinction between the experience for Klal Yisrael and us today? We can't, if our Nevuah is on a miracle, but we don't have a miracle.
Right.
So we can't. I can't say to my son, well, there was a miracle 3 million years ago, so that's why you believe there's a God. There's no connection.
Right.
So that's why it has to be an experience.
Right, right. And that's what he even says in that Rambam. He quotes the part, I kind of ran through it, but he quotes at the end that not just them were at Har Sinai, but we were all at Har Sinai. That is exactly the point he's making. That the exactly your point. That, you know, that this has to be the... So
Hashem gives Moshe miracles. The miracles will make a difference for the moment, for the story, for the Avodah.
Correct. And that's how the Rambam, by the way, would read those psukim in Shmos, exactly like you're saying. In other words, yeah, Hashem gave Moshe a trick to do because he was facing a skeptical audience, and this was the only way at that moment to convince that audience. But those miracles, even though they're included in the Torah, they obviously have a timeless message to us. But that timeless message is not that Vayaminu Ba'Hashem, oh, and Moshe, because after all, he turned the staff into a snake. And how many of us could do that, you know? And by the way, I think that one of the things we should think about, and again, I think these are different perspectives, you know, but one of the things we should think about is, what do we emphasize in the stories? You know, we're not now in the stories of the Avos, we're in the stories of the... In other words, it's much more stimulating to young people to emphasize the out-of-ordinary, miraculous... You know, it's much more interesting, it's much more stimulating, it makes for a better project, it makes for a better story, it's much more dramatic. But are we doing anyone a favor by making that the foundation, by overemphasizing that dimension, as opposed to the shared experience, as opposed to, you know what, the home of Avram and Sarah, and the values of that home, and the nature of that home, that's really what mattered. The fact that three angels showed up and visited them, like, that's, at the moment, that's what was needed for whatever reason. Hashem sent an angel, but that's not the story of Parshas Vayera. The story of Parshas Vayera that's supposed to be part of making us who we are is how they acted, how they behaved, how they lived the values of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the same thing is true all the way through. To not focus as much on the miraculous nature of what happened, that, you know, when the kid tells the story of Korach Vahadaso, their favorite part is when everyone gets, at least the boys, is when everyone gets swallowed up into the hole. Like, that's the cool part of the story. But that's not what the story is really about. What the story is really, that's, there was just no other way to do, I guess, a mass execution, not to sound so morbid, you know, in the middle of the desert. I guess that was just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to handle it. But the real power of the story is the challenge of what is leadership and what is, you know, and what is the role of the community relative to leaders, and what is the, and we should think about whether or not we kind of pivot to the easier, more naturally dramatic emphasis, when really, from a values perspective, it would do us well to emphasize other aspects and other areas as well. You know, how many kids read the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim as a story of an oppressed people and freedom? In other words, how many, like when we say, right, this is going around now, this today, you know, right now there's a lot of talk about racism and a lot of talk about, you know, bigotry in this country, and what do you call it, and our people, like, we were the ultimate victims of all of this. How could this not be such a priority for us? Why isn't this such a priority for us? Like, why isn't it so obvious that we would, and there were rabbis that marched in Selma, Alabama, but why isn't it so obvious? Why is it that you often find, you know, from people, you know, making a joke that maybe it's not the most sensitive type of joke or something like that? Why is it that that's a challenge for us when it's so obvious that so much of our history is all about being the other and being mistreated and being, you know, and we have so much resentment for Jewish history and the way countries treat us? Why is it not? And if you stop and think about it, well, is that really the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we tell? Or is the story that we tell, oh, we were slaves in Mitzrayim and Hashem, he rocked these people and he, you know, killed their fish and he killed them, and he made everyone dark and he made everyone, you know, and the locusts and then, like, is that what we focus on? Or do we focus on, look, you know, this was a mistreated people? I don't know that we read the experience that way. I don't know that we emphasize those aspects of the experience because we're so drawn to the miraculous. So one of the things to think about is not, you know, I'm not advocating that we change all of our chinuch, but one of the things to think about is how we could bring a little bit more of the values conversation in, which I think is what the Rambam's saying, which is that don't make everything so dependent on the miracle stories. The miracle stories are nice, but they're a reflection of God's intervention when necessary for the Jewish people. they are not fundamentally the foundation of who we are as a people. Who we are as a people, you know, the other religions also have stories of miracles, you know. Who we are as a people is about our shared experience of oppression, our shared experience of liberation, our shared experience of revelation, our shared experience of conquest and settlement of our land, our shared experience of the challenges that we had in setting up a society consistent with our values and ideals of Torah, our shared experience of being expelled from that land and the struggle to have the opportunity to return and not returning. It's not all about the miracles. A lot of it is also about what it means to be part of the larger Jewish people. When you portray Jewish identity in that direction as well, then the skepticism that comes with being a contemporary, more rationalist, you know, type person is at least balanced with another set of values that we're trying to convey. So that's the Rambam. Yeah.
The way you're explaining the Rambam and what was created by Benish Moshe's. So all miracles had their potential in creation?
The Rambam says that at some place, he says, Kvar yizkarti l'cha b'perek shmini, she'enem sorm she'shchidish ratzim b'chol eis ve'eis, elash b'tchilas asiyas advarim, when things are made in the original, nitein b'tivam, it's put into their teva, she'yase b'hem koma she'nase, b'ein she'ha'yos ha'davar nase b'rov ha'zmanim, v'hu ha'davar ha'tivi, whether that it's what's natural that happens most of the time, o she'ha'yibakroi v'hu ha'mofes. And that's what the Rambam says, yeah. That in there, in that original creation, is that exception. It's the only way he can deal with it, as a rationalist.
So the exception is part of the rule of nature.
Exactly. It's a little circular, right? That's what's bothering you? Circular, or you're in.
Yeah.
It kind of helps you if you think about it. You know, when you're davening for a miracle, someone says to you, you know, I don't know if this is possible, it's going to take a miracle. So you're davening for a miracle, so as a rational, normal person, you say to yourself, how am I going to daven for a miracle? Right? You know, what does that mean? The sun rises in the morning and it sets in the night. Like, I'm going to daven now that the opposite should happen? Like, the doctor's telling me this is going to happen. I'm going to daven that that's going to happen? Like, what do you mean you're davening for a miracle? So the answer is that, no, you don't know. It could be that, you know, predestined within, you know, the creation of this liver, pancreas, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to address in the human body is the capacity for something to happen that's not traditional in its functioning. And tefillah is what is the appeal of a human being for the rachme shamayim that should occur, that should happen.
So in other words,
you know,
you're asking Hashem to, you know, like somebody who hits a hole in one with his eyes closed.
Right.
I mean, I can't do it with my eyes open, but right. So you're asking Hashem to, you know, it's theoretically possible. So you're, instead of asking Hashem to change nature, you're asking him to make you the lucky guy who's going to have that.
Now, one in a million, exactly. That somehow it's embedded again. There. You're a little bit creating a third category. In other words, there's things that violate the laws of nature. Then there are things that violate the laws of probability. You know, in other words, certain things in nature always happen,
right,
because they mechanically have to happen. They're a law. Right. Certain things in nature happen because that's the probability is this is what almost always happens.
Right.
And then, but you always have the moment where the doctor looks at you and is like, yeah, we almost never see this, you know what I mean?
Right.
But now we are seeing it, you know? So there you're looking, so when you're violating the laws of probability, that's even less of a miracle. If you're violating the laws of nature, that's even more of a miracle. But the Rambam's point is, you're not trying to do magic, you know?
But if you're saying that he says
that
the thing that you think was violating the laws of nature was really created as part of nature.
Correct. As your experience, it violates the laws of nature. But so, it doesn't actually violate the laws of nature, because the laws of nature include it.
So therefore, you're asking for him to do something that has an infinite, whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A very, very tiny
possibility
of happening. So you're asking him to skew the laws of
probability. Yes, that gives me a little more confidence,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Especially if it happened once before to somebody else, that you know it's in the brain.
Correct. I remember when I had a relative that was very, very ill, and it was something that they had never seen before, ever. So that was very frightening, because, you know, it's very scary to deal with something that no one's ever seen before. in this particular way. And so somebody who had spoken to a tremendous Baal Machshava said, no, you're wrong, because something that people have seen before and generally goes in a certain direction, that requires a much more open, revealed miracle to reverse. Something that no one's had experience with yet, we don't know. We don't know, like, there isn't, that's not as open of a miracle, because no one knows what's supposed to happen with this thing. Maybe it's supposed to go this way. Maybe it's always supposed to go that way. Whatever happens in your situation will then become 100% of the time what happens, because you are the time. So, you know, it's so this was their Taina. I don't know if they believed that or they were just trying to make me feel better, but it worked. It worked to make me feel better, yeah. But that's because I was very non-rational at the time. Yes.
The other two religions are mainly based on miracles. So how come people still believe in it over 1,000 years later? They don't have the experience. They never got an experience. It's almost, it's like they're based on, why is that?
That, I think, probably requires a better understanding of those religions. That's not the, just like no one suggesting our religion is entirely based on these miracles. Their religions are also not entirely based on miracles. They have other factors that are driving the faith of their of what they believe. That's a very good question, but I think it's more complex. And yes, they're willing to kill themselves for it, and they're willing to, you know, make their lives difficult for it. So it is important to understand. Okay, so Rav Soloveitchik has a famous essay called A Jew is a Sefer Torah. The essay is in Hebrew and it's in English. I read it once on the plane flying to Eretz Yisrael. A very inspirational essay. I encourage everyone, if you can get your hands on it, to read. I'm happy to email it to you. But in the middle, and basically the Rav, the whole essay is built off of about 15 Mara Mekomos in the beginning. Rabbi Soloveitchik, we discussed this past Shavuos a little bit, between one of the Mincha Maris, where Rav Soloveitchik builds this idea that there are many different contexts in Chazal where a Jew is compared to a Sefer Torah. And he talks about why that is. You know, what is it about the Jew that's compared to a Sefer Torah? And he basically develops a thesis that the whole concept of the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, right? A Sefer Torah is really just a piece of dead animal carcass and ink, right? And if you were to print on a dead animal carcass with ink, it would have no kedusha whatsoever, right? You could throw it in the garbage, throw it nicely in the garbage. It would be like a parsha sheet, right? But if you have a sofer write the Sefer Torah, then it has kedusha Sefer Torah, and it's the most holy thing in the world, and we have to be so careful with it. And if it drops, we fast for 40 days, 50 days, 90 days, 100 days, we never eat again, whatever, say Kedusha Sefer Torah. And the Rav says that anytime something has the capacity to endow something else with Kedusha, it means the essence of that Kedusha is within the endower. And so therefore, if a Jew can create the Kedusha of Sefer Torah, it means that embedded within the Jew is the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. So in the context of that conversation, in the context of that discussion, so the Rav says the following. He quotes the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer Agadol Omer, Shnaim Aser Eser Mil Al Shnaim Aser Mil Keneged Machne Yisrael Baskol Mashmav Omer Vayomas Sham Moshe Eved Hashem Safra Rabba De Yisrael. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eved Hashem, died, and he was the Safra Rabba De Yisrael. He was the great sofer of the Jewish people. So the Rav asks, we understand that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the first Sefer Torah. That's clear. In fact, tradition has it that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sefer Torah, gave one to each Shevet, and one for the Azara. But and that's what the Torah tells. Vayichtov Moshe Satorah Hazos, Vayinu El Kohanim B'nei Levi, and Osam Esarim B'ris Hashem. But says the Rav, it's hard to understand how when Moshe Rabbeinu is dying, and we're losing this great central leader, that the one accolade that you attribute to Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that he was a really good sofer. You know, like, if anybody's ever been involved with, you know, purchasing or the writing of a Sefer Torah, there are different degrees in quality of a Sefer Torah. Some look better, some look worse. I made Moshe Starshevsky very nervous because when I got Chasson Torah, and we were in the last line of the Torah, this past Simchas Torah, I thought that one of the Vavs at the very, very end was a little short, so I like leaned in. Now, you don't want to possibly say the Torah with the last letter, because that means everything you did in the Sefer Torah up until now. Also, you don't see this again for another who knows how long. So, but so there are different types of Sefer Torah. So this is the big. So Rav Soloveitchik says, no, you're getting it wrong. So look at the last paragraph. Barami Moshe Nikra Safra Rabba Ein Ze Bischus Ksivaso B'Dio Pashad Al Klaf Ragil. It doesn't have to do with the writing of Dio on this regular klaf. And it's not because he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. What is it? Sheina Moshe. Ba'atzmi, he karti so shirmesh chayav kosav asar Sifrei Torah. So he says, Habasko kinsas Moshe Safra Rabba. Why does he call him a Safra Rabba? Two lines before the end. Ki hu kosav is a Sefer HaTorah hapnimi b'to adasam shel Yisrael. Ki hu hafich es klal ha-yehudim ves a yehudi ha-yachin l'sefer Torah. The Rav says, who is it that imbued the Jewish people with this internal identity as having this Kedusha Sefer Torah? This came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Turn to the next page. Moshe hu Safra Rabba. That's what it means, is he's the great Sofer. Ki ukosav be'osios shel eish kodesh. Because he wrote with the letters of holy fire, Ali Bosehem Shel Yisrael, on the hearts of the Jewish people, as Dvar Hashem, the words of Hashem. Ki hu apagish es atorah ima ishiyus hayahadus hayehudi. He is the one that was able to connect the Torah to the individual personality of the Jew. Ki hu kidesh es avaya gufani varuchani ayahudi bekdushas atorah. Lo Yigimah Svar Mechitzon. It's not talking about the 13 Sifrei Torah. Ela kol Yehudi, but every Jew. Sheyesh bo nitzutz Torah v'yahadus, that as a spark of Torah and of Jewish identity, nosim b'tocham osios, who carry within them these letters, Shemoshe kosav be'ava u'bikdusha b'nishmas Yisrael. That Moshe writes with love and with sanctity on the souls of the Jewish people. This is Rabbi Soloveitchik talking, by the way. This is not like some, you know, cute Chassidish Torah. Okay? This is Gam al Balei HaMesorah. And that's true about the Balei HaMesorah as well. Shenikro Sofrim, that are called Sofrim, Nizchu Chazal B'Kedushin, Leficha Karu Rishon, and Sofrim Yisofim Kol Osos Shebetorah, Heim Sofru Kol Os, they write the letter, Hu Kiruhu V'Ramemuhu Be'avo V'Kedushim, and they plant it, into the personality of the Jew for eternity. So what the Rav is saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu's, one of Moshe Rabbeinu's distinguishing contributions about the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is that it didn't just reside within him. That when we think about why is it so, so again, the Rav doesn't talk about this seventh animamin in this essay or in this context, but one of the things we could suggest is why is it so central? Why is it so important to believe in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because to a large extent, our own internal spiritual dynamic and its relationship to the larger reality of Kedushas Yisrael comes from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able not only to come down from that mountain and say, here's an external Torah, but he was able to instill it in each and every person. And that's an important thing to understand, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not just an educator. He wasn't just giving over information. He was creating a reality within the hearts of every Jew, within the mind of every Jew, within the identity of every Jew. So when we talk about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is central to our emunah, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu not just as the conduit of the Mesorah, of the tradition, of the content of the Torah, but also in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu being the conduit for the imprint of the Torah on each and every Jew. And that's part of what made Moshe Rabbeinu distinct, and that relates to what we're going to talk about at the beginning of next time, when we talk about the what it was that Miriam and Aaron, You know, they're the ones that in the Torah speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say, right, what do they say? What do Miriam and Aaron say? Who does he think he is? We all heard Hashem. What makes him special? And Hashem responds, exactly what makes him special. In understanding that response, we'll make our final point with regards to what distinguishes Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah from all others. And then Emir Tzashem will move on to the next one of the Ikarim. Okay, so I'll see everyone, not this coming Wednesday night, Emir Tzashem, but I'll see you all on the following Wednesday night. Right. Okay, beautiful.